how do you position your brand to find your niche audience?
Do you ever wish life had an undo button? Walking the balance between business and the creative life can be hard. But Matt and Shelby are here to attempt to answer the tough questions, so you don't need an undo. Presented by Made by Things, this is the Command Z Show.
And we're back with another episode of the Command Z Show. This is episode, I want to say, like 80-ish.
I think so.
897.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, it feels like it. We have entered April, and Shelby, I want to ask you how you are, but I have a feeling I know exactly what you're going to say.
What is it? What will I ever say, Matt?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Shelby's here today, and she's pretty good.
I'm pretty good.
Shelby, you have a couple of things, really exciting developments. I'm not sure if you want to talk about any of those before we jump into this.
But. Just some fun things. The Iowa Motion Picture Association, which is basically like the Iowa Academy Awards, the Iowa Oscars. I've been nominated, my works, a total of 17 nominations between a feature film, one of my scripts, and then all of our Made by Things projects as well. So Made by Things received, I think seven or eight nominations, something like that. And then, yeah, so.
No big deal.
It was actually, it's pretty cool because the way that they judge things is you have to get an 80% or higher. And in two of those categories, we beat out all of our other competitors. So, you know, we're going to win something. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, look at that.
Oh, that's fun. Nice. So Shelby's doing better than pretty good today.
Yeah.
It sounds.
Pretty great.
Pretty great. All right. So we have a very special guest on today. Let's see here. Shauna, you have been one of the most interesting people on my Instagram for the last couple years. And I'm glad to finally get you on here, get you talking about some of the work that you've done. But I'd love to hear a little bit of an intro to who you are.
Yeah, for sure. I love that you just called me the most interesting person. I feel like I could go on Time Cover Magazine with that title, you know?
But that's a resume builder right there.
I'm like, is that a compliment? I'm not sure. But it's fine.
It is.
Well, my name is Shauna Poliziani. I run a creative agency called Wolves and Roses Creative. I have been doing that for about the past 4 years now. And for the past 7 years, I've been a freelance graphic designer. So it's been a very interesting journey for sure. I went to CCAD. I got a bachelor's in graphic design. I thought the American dream was to get out of art school and get a 9-to-5. And I did that. And I was bored as all get out. So I knew that life wasn't for me. And my freelance career started as literally just a cure to my boredom. And then I slowly started making more money. I shouldn't say slowly. I had a plan. This is really funny. I had a plan to quit my job within a year. And I was like, I'm going to turn in my notice on this date and it's going to be said and done. And I turned it in the next month. So it was a really quick, you know, decision that was made, but it was the best decision I've ever made. So yeah, that's the really condensed version of how Wolves and Roses got here.
Oh, that's super fun. It's funny you say that because I was really similar where I was like, I remember talking to my wife, I think I was 24, 25 at the time. And I was like, the day that I turn 30 is the day that I'm going to like quit my job no matter where I'm at. And I'm going to start a company. And it ended up being like, I don't know, it was a few months later where I was like, wait, if I know what I want, why would I wait? Like, that's
right.
I feel like
once the idea is like inserted into your brain, like, oh, that's a possibility. It just like grows from there.
Right.
And it's not a decision anymore.
Yeah. It's like it's a gift and a curse, I feel like, to have as a personality trait where you're like, no. Like, I will just obsess over this until I just do it now. So I might as well just do it now. I don't know.
Yes.
So, Yeah, you know, as I've said, you are one of the most interesting personalities on my LinkedIn or my Instagram. There it is. They're all the same, right? And one of the things that I've always found fascinating about you is that you seem to just own it, right? You are who you are, and you don't really try to pretend to be anything else. Like, this is you, and you're going to kind of find your way doing things your way. So, with that being said, I'm going to kick it over to Shelby for this week's question.
Yeah. So our big question, how do you position your brand to find your niche audience?
I love this question because give me like 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you what a niche was. And that's like how I run my business, right? Like, it started as something that was, like I said in my intro, it was something that I started to cure boredom. So it was very much a selfish act in my position at that time. As I was building it, I wasn't really worried about who I was showing up in front of. I was just like, you know, I have this job that I'm already unhappy in. Why would I start creating things for people who I don't want to work with and who I don't want to do things for? So when you say like, who did you niche your work to, or like, how did you figure this out? It's all about the experience. It's all about the journey that I've been on as an artist, as a designer, as a human being. Because again, like when I first started, I was open to anybody and everybody. I was like, let me see who likes my work. And I guess that's a pretty hot topic too. Like, you want to work with people who know your work and like your work. It's a terrible feeling to walk into an audience and, you know, you're getting critiqued every step of the way. They don't understand what you're doing. So people that just had that general idea of like, oh yeah, that's Shauna's work and I really like it and I would like to try to work with her. Like, that was the initial kind of like, okay, cool, let's try this. Give it a little bit more time and you realize like, not everybody who likes your work is meant to work with you, as you guys probably know. So you really start to get into, you know, like, who are the types of people that I enjoy working with and that I really, you know, they bring out the best in me and I want to produce the best work for them as well as be happy with the work myself. So that's the key thing. And I've held that from the very beginning. It's like, as long as I'm happy creating the work that I'm doing and the clients really like it too, cool. Bing, bang, boom, we're Gucci, baby, right? And I don't know if you guys follow, I saw this thing, his name is Made by James on Instagram, and he's like a branding designer expert, whatever. And he posted this comparison one day, and it was just like an artist versus a designer. And this is where I'm like, I feel like this is why my brand is so unique, is because I hold both of these attributes in my business. So an artist is basically out for themselves. They do work to please themselves. They want to make sure that, you know, they're not like getting a check and an okay from a boss. It's all about you. Right. And I'm like, that's how I feel about my work. If I don't like it, I'm not going to send it to the client. Like, because if I don't like it, most likely they are not going to like it. And then as a designer, your overall goal is to get that okay from the client. But like the misfortune of that is like, what if your client wants something that you absolutely hate? So this is where the style really started to come in, and the niche got so targeted to an audience, because I was like, there's stuff that I really love to do. And if you look at my Instagram feed, you'll know exactly what I do, right, exactly how the end result is probably going to turn out, because that's me. And that's what I like to produce. And that's what I'm most passionate about. So that's the long, you know, explanation of how I ended up where I am now. But really, it's just been a continuation of making sure that I don't stay stagnant as an artist or a designer.
Right. It's really interesting. Like, it takes me back to like some of the early parts of my career. And it was very much like that, where I'm like, I don't care. I just, I'm really hoping to just make some money doing this.
Right.
And it's funny because like, I remember those first requests that I kept getting from people. It was not, hey, we really like this thing in your portfolio, can you do this? It was showing like really great work that somebody else did, and they're like, yeah, we want this. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be tough, but here we go. We're going to try to do that now. And every project was a different request that was like somebody else's like work, right? But it, for me, it was like a thing that started happening over time, where when people started pointing at like my own portfolio as something that they wanted, I was like, are you yes. sure? Like I, even at first I was like, okay, that's great. But like, can you show me some like outside reference? Cause that was what I was used to. And I was like, wait, that was not the right approach. They're showing you exactly what they like. And they came to you for a reason. At first they come to you because they probably don't have anyone else to go to. You're the only person that they know, if we're being honest, right?
Absolutely.
And at a certain point, whenever it stops being that way and people start to actually seek you out to do something, I don't know, it's really special. And truthfully, it's only a portfolio. A good portfolio can do that for you. Like, you can't just start having a bunch of random stuff, which, again, I made that mistake. And even whenever I say that to other people, I understand that they're probably not going to listen. Right. But
right. And it's truly really about the experience that like led you to where you are now. Right. Because I look back on my whole career as a freelancer. And like when I first started, I wanted nothing more than to just be like a social media management. Like, right. I didn't even really care about the design. I was just like, I want to have pretty Instagram feeds. That's all I want to do. Then I moved into branding and I'm like, well, you know, like, so it's all about these like little things that hold your interest for an amount of time. And you learn that skill, you learn that little place in the industry, and you keep banking the knowledge, right? So you get to this point where you're like, I know how to do this, 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 and this. That's not a problem, but do I want to do that? And that's where you're at now too. It's like, I only want to work on the stuff that I'm so passionate about that I choose to work on it.
For sure. Yeah, I don't know. I think about a couple specific projects for myself where it was like this big like turning point where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try to get away with something here. did you have these moments as well where you're like, a certain project comes up and you're like, here's my chance and I'm going to take it?
Yes. Yes. I'm very much like a pedal pusher, so to speak. Like, if my clients ask for something, I'm like, oh, that ain't it. That's not it. Cause most people I find, I'm going to go on a tangent here, but like most people who aren't in like the visual arts, they say that they want something, but they don't understand how it's going to look in the long run. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I'll show you this. I'll show you what you want, but I'm also going to show you what I think.
Right.
And I will say 99% of the time, they're like, yeah, I want what you think.
Right.
Because we have that experience. Again, like, we know what you're talking about and we know why you're giving us this information. But part of being creative is pushing that to another level, right? Like, we can absolutely recreate things that you want. Like, you pull something off Pinterest. Yeah, okay, cool. But like, what of me do you want in this project? Because it's not there right now.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of being like, okay, here you go. There's what you asked for. But now I'm going to do something that I think is right and I'm going to send it to you. And it's like, do I have to do that? No, but it's like what makes me happy and what makes me a better creative is because I know I can put a different spin on something, right? And it's not just repeating. Because if there's one thing about me, it's like I freaking hate seeing the same thing over right. and over and over again. I want to see different styles, different things. I want to test things. And like most of the time, clients appreciate that.
Right. I think that was the thing for me that was really difficult early on, whereas I was like, okay, I want to try something on this, but like, I don't know if they're going to like it. I don't even know if I'm going to like it. I'm like, but I think at a certain point you start to trust your own taste a little bit, where it's like,
yep.
you understand that like, okay, even if I go in this direction and it doesn't look good, I know, like, I'm going to know that it doesn't look good and I'm going to be able to make any changes and corrections until I do feel good about it. And it gets especially tricky whenever it comes to kind of the conversion from being an actual designer to a creative director, because now I'm like doing the same thing, but based on somebody else's work, where I'm like, okay, I got to trust them to do this thing, but I also have to trust them with their taste that they're not going to put something out that's going to be crappy. And
this is crap.
Yeah. And like, there's definitely times where I'm like, I see something and I'm like, okay, like I wouldn't have done that, but do I trust the taste of the people that I hire? And when the answer is inevitably yes, it's like, okay, Like, let's do it. Let's push this forward and see what happens. Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing about like collaboration between artists. I'll never forget, like, I taught this college class. I can't even remember what it was, but basically it was about like being unique as an artist and why you should never try to be like somebody else. And I was like, okay, I want two students to come up from the class. Don't look at each other. Like, we had a wall in between them. And I'm like, I just want you to draw a lion. That's it. Just draw a lion. And like the results were so different. And I'm like, this is why people pay you guys to be you. Like, nobody, if two of the same exact lions would have shown up on the board, like, what's the point of being creative? Right? It's just, it's so much fun being collaborative with other artists who have such a different spin on things.
Right. I don't know. There's so much stuff there. But before I keep going, Shelby, I'm going to give you a chance to talk.
Yeah, I think this is really interesting because, like, from a producer's perspective, like, when I'm bringing an artist onto a project, I'm bringing that artist on because I have faith in them as an artist. I don't want them to just regurgitate whatever it is I'm telling them, whatever notes I'm giving them from the client. I want them to put their own spin on it, to give me feedback as well, because that it is a collaboration process. And that's the best part. That's the best part of being creative, is working together through that. And for artists to be able to put their own spin on things. And yeah, I love this conversation, because like, I did not think I was going to be going into a creative industry. I thought I'm going to be a theorist and that is going to be it. And then ended up finding my way here. And I know that, like, for me as a producer, even in that space, I definitely am producing, you know, in a very different way than most creative or motion design producers would. And it's such a fun way to see that, you know, our backgrounds really do impact how we're working within this field, and that you can't just, you know, take the note, do the note. You have to put yourself into it because it's important, and that's the reason we're all here.
Oh, so true. So true. I always tell people that, people are like, oh, it's business, it's not personal. I'm like, if you're an artist, it's very personal. Like, there's no stepping around that one. But yeah, like, it's very interesting to hear too, because like, I'm the only graphic designer in my agency, right? So I don't like work directly with another designer. So it's interesting to hear you guys like sharing ideas back and forth of like, oh, well, I completely trust this with somebody else. And although I don't do that type of like collaboration, I always tell my clients, I'm like, this is a co-creation, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, it could be a co-creation. Like, if you just hand me like five words and an image to use, I'm going to do what I want with it. But if you really have a vision and you really have an idea, we need to talk about it. Right. And we need to be on the same page about it. The more that we collaborate with this, like, the more intense, the more clear that your end result is going to be. And I think that's like a big disconnect in the industry right now, because people can get results so quickly with AI or with Canva or with whatever, but it's like, how productive is that end result? Or how intense, how is it moving people emotionally? Like, especially with the motion work that you guys do, like, some of those like make me cry. Like, I'm not getting that effect on like AI or Canva, you know what I mean? So it's like, people take for granted what we actually do as artists, I think.
Right. You bring up a good point with a lot of the AI stuff, because yeah, it's an amazing thing that's happening right now. From a technology standpoint, it is absolutely incredible. Nobody can deny that. But have I ever looked at an AI thing and thought, wow, that really makes me feel something?
Right.
And no, I don't think ever. It is the purpose of it is, okay, if you're looking for like the fluffy content that can fill up that day's post or like on the schedule, then sure, maybe it'll work. But I don't know, there is something about the idea of like, yeah, when you work with somebody directly, you're not just working with a pair of hands that know the software really well. You're working with people that have experiences in their life that have shaped their decision-making. They have experienced tragedies. They have experienced joy. And all of these things are the reason why they draw a lion differently when they walk up to the board.
Right.
Like, exactly. There's so many factors that go into it, and it's, you know, again, AI is incredible, but if you really want that human touch to thing, which everyone should right now, if they're not seeking that, there's probably a bigger problem sort of happening. I don't know.
It's something incredible to me, because like, I even just did a podcast on this, but it's like how emotion is one of the most important creative stages, because like, in order for us to create as artists, we have to process something that happened to us, right? Like, we're processing that emotion, we're bringing that into our work. So for somebody to just go online, like with Midjourney or whatever, they're like, I want a horse. Okay, well, like, what's that horse doing? Like, why do you need the horse? Like, what's the journey of this image? Like, why do you need it? And that's all the important stuff that people are forgetting. It's not just an image of a horse. It's an image of the journey of why you needed that horse, right? Like, it's frustrating, but it's also cool, because I see what you're saying with it being like really freaking like technologically advanced. Yeah. Like, but here's what I'll say about AI. I love it for like sketches, concepts, the beginning stages of like a creative process, because it gets those ideas out really quickly. What I don't love it for is like end results.
Right. Great. Yeah. It is weird. I saw somebody the other day hiring for an AI artist, which is kind of an oxymoron already, to do storyboards in their production company.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, like that could work. Like I can see how it could work, but man, I don't know. It just, something feels so wrong about it, and I can't quite place my finger exactly where. Like I get it. Like I don't think anyone's like to blame for anything. I'm like, I'm not mad at anybody, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Something's missing there.
Is it now? I don't know. Like the whole process of a motion project, but storyboarding, isn't that like one of the most like emotionally driven, like it, like you're telling the actual story, right? That's probably what it is. It's like lacking that emotion that you get when you're putting it on paper.
I would say that for us, our storyboards aren't usually like the most like amazing things ever, and that's mostly because we have to kind of rush through them a bit, but it's more about the conversation we have around their storyboards. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, oh, we got to feel something. Like I can, if I see a sketch of just a circle, like if you can explain to me what's happening here and I can feel it, then I'm good. But there's times where I see like really detailed sketches for storyboards, and I'm like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I don't feel anything. Like that's a recent conversation that we had on a project where I'm like, I don't know. I just don't feel anything when I'm looking at this. Yeah. So it's like, it's not necessarily about your skill level for us anyway. Again, like I hope I'm not making anyone upset here by saying this, but like there are some really like technically amazing storyboard artists out there, but you got to feel something. If you don't feel something during those early steps, then you shouldn't move forward, because where's that feeling going to come from? And so it's like, to me, it's not about being technical necessarily about any of that stuff, but it's about like, okay, if you're showing this angle, why are you showing this? Like, why is the camera placed at the height it is? Why are we looking at the character like this? Like, positioning, composition, and framing, like, why? And if I don't get answers for that, then it's just not good enough. Right. And so I guess I think about that with AI. It's like, ooh, you got to be really specific with what you're asking for. You can do it. You can get a feeling out of those storyboards. But I feel like it's mostly on accident whenever it happens like that. And we can all ask for accidents. We've all had happy accidents before while making things, accidentally put a color over something, and it's like, whoa, that's great. But I think that, I mean, like you say, like having AI for some of the early stages stuff, I think it's great. But also, like you said, whenever it's like the final result, you think you can just type it in and then all of a sudden like hit save, and then it's just, that's the end thing.
Right.
I just don't know why you would want to.
It's like one of those battles that you just, like, I don't have the energy to fight it, right? I'm like, you either see my work and you see how emotion evoking it is, how on vibe it is for whatever they're doing, and you appreciate it and you want to work with me, or you're happy with using AI or Canva. And that's just the fact of it. Some people don't give two craps about it, right? Like they're like, oh, well, this looks just as good as that, because they don't have the eye for it, whatever the reason may be. And it's like, you have to be okay with that as an artist. Like the people who are, I guess this ties back into the original question, but the people that are meant to work with you are going to appreciate the effort, the energy, the time that you put into your artwork.
Absolutely. Shelby, any thoughts?
Ooh, damn, yeah, sorry. I totally agree with that. It's such an odd thing because like I listen to, you know, everything like, okay, this creator made this AI piece, whatever. And oftentimes they're coming from artists. It's like, okay, I'm a musician and I made, you know, a thing that be able to like, you're able to make AI music. And it's like, okay, this is an artist who created this platform and I understand the intention behind it. But when I'm going out of my way to work with an artist to find that person that I think is special, it's because I care about the soul that they're going to put into it that I know I can't get out of AI. And that's really the main difference here is, you know, are you looking for something where you have that personality, where you have that connection, where, you know, you're working with that specific artist because you follow them and you love them and you want to work with them? Or are you just creating another piece of content, which we have a lot of content in the world and it's, I know for me, it's more worthwhile to create something that's actually going to make a statement than just put another piece out there.
Yes. And I think that's the eye of an artist speaking. Like it's like you can scroll through your Facebook feed and you can pick out the ones that had the energy put into it, that had the time put into it, that had the purpose put into it, for God's sakes. Like, and then you can pick out the ones that are posted to just get comments or just get a response from people to make the algorithm go back up. I mean, it's all a work in progress, right? Like I can't completely ignore the algorithm. I can't completely ignore social media because it is a hefty part of my business. It's a lot of the time how I get clients. But when my focus goes to, I want to make sure I'm showing up on social every day for at least 5 posts and like, and then I completely forget about my art. Like, that's not it for me. I will always put my art above social feeds. And like, sometimes it goes blank for a couple days and that's fine with me. It's because I'm processing. Like I'm trying to figure out like what I want to post that's going to get a good reaction from people. That's actual quality. That's bringing something to somebody's life. I'm not just going to post to like tickle you and fancy you, right? Like, and I think that's the confusion that a lot of artists have. It's like, am I a content creator or am I an artist?
That's an amazing question right there. I think that there's a huge difference between the two. And I mean, I'm 100% guilty of this myself because I generally set the rules of, okay, I need to post every day. Now, the stuff that I'm generally posting is more written content at this point, occasionally some visuals if I feel like it's needed. So all of my posting is basically done on LinkedIn. And for me, there's some days where it's not happening. I don't know. Like I do think amazing things happen when you hold yourself to a schedule where you surprise yourself and you're like, all right, I know I want to talk about this thing and this thing. And then you sit down and you just start writing and then amazing things happen sometimes where it's like, wow, like I didn't think I had that to say truthfully, but apparently I did. And then you post the thing and then you get 2 impressions on it. And then you're like, okay, that was a waste. there is a balance though that I think needs to happen between the two where it's like holding yourself kind of accountable to some sort of schedule, but also if it's not there that day, it's not there that day.
Right.
Like my analogies are mostly sports related and it's like some days you walk up to the plate and you strike out 4 times and you're still a professional. Like it might suck that day, but like, well, we'll get them tomorrow, I guess. Like it's kind
Absolutely.
Of that way.
It's wild too, because like some of like you said, some of my most beautiful posts, I'll be like, oh man, I took the time to write that. Like, I'm so excited to share it. And then you get like 2 likes and you're like, I guess nobody wants to see that stuff. Yeah. And it's not true. It's just like, it's literally you're typing into oblivion sometimes. It's like, it really is truly a matter of like, who's online, who's going to see it. Is Facebook even promoting it? Is Instagram even promoting it? Like, whatever. So I try to like really disconnect from the immediate, like, I need results on this to consider it successful. The only thing that should be making it successful is if I'm happy to post it, right?
Right.
So it's like, especially with owning like kind of a company, like you more than me, especially like you have to be producing content. Me, it's a little bit more leeway because I'm just like, oh, I'm just a person and I'm here and I'm an artist. Yeah. But with a company, like there has to be that consistency. So it's an interesting take to hear, like, it's the same kind of vibe on both sides, honestly.
For sure. I mean, I don't know. Again, like I've had this, that journey, right? Like I've been an individual freelancer before and grown into a team. And I think there's a lot more that's the same than you would probably think. I don't know, especially when you do grow a team, it's like you start to realize how important that personal touch is on everything. Where it's like, you know what, when I was an individual freelancer, I used to think that everyone wanted to work with a big company. And now that I have a bit of a company, I'm like, they want to work with an individual on this. Like they want the security of a large team working on something, but they want the personal touch of an individual. So like there's pros and cons to both, but I don't know, I always find that to be fascinating because I'm like, all right, well, I mean, we were talking about like this podcast, for instance, like my job is to show up and record, and Shelby and Allie edit and produce the podcast and like make it actually exist. Right. And I don't know, like to me, like that's one of those instances where it's like, we need to make it, I'm spoiling some secrets here, but like we need to make it feel like it's a smaller group of people doing something, because that's the personal touch, that there's an art to what we're doing here, right? And we want that to come through. But at the same time, there's a lot of people that are involved with this, and I don't know, I don't really know where I was going with that, but it's kind of the idea though, right?
No, I think like the human touch on things, like people just feel, they feel more taken care of, right? Because I ran into the same thing where I was like, okay, if I'm going to have an agency, everything has to like not be from me. It's from me, but I was like marking it like wolves and roses. Like, it wasn't personal. It like wasn't. And then I had people just like, where's Shauna? Like, we want to talk to Shauna. We like Shauna. Like, I'm like, hey, it's me, guys. Come on. But like, they don't know that, right? So it's like, there's this really big gap of like, I almost don't know how huge companies do it because it's so impersonal.
Right.
And then like being an artist is the most personal thing in the world. So it's like, how do you kind of combine the two to get that flow state of like, you know, this is, and I guess it comes into handy, like having different personalities and stuff working on a team where it's like a lot of people, my downfall is like communication and anything like admin. No, I don't want to do it. Yeah. Like if you catch me in a bad mood, I'm not going to respond to anybody that day. So like one of my team members is like all communication, all admin, and she saves my butt on a daily basis. Right. So it's like, I guess the difference of personalities in a team really can do a lot for a business.
Yeah. You asked that question, like how do big companies do it? I don't think that they do. Like, I think that, I don't know, like we get close to that line occasionally where it kind of appears much bigger than it actually is, whatever. And it would be really easy for us to take on, and we do occasionally take on some of the work that's like void of personality and a lot more corporate type stuff, where it's like, okay, you have these 200 page brand guidelines and you just need this thing to look like that. And
Yeah,
like we'll do that stuff occasionally. Like, then is it our favorite work? No. Do we still try to put ourselves into it? Absolutely. But it doesn't show up as clear, right? Because it still needs to represent the brand that we're sort of working with. And that's, I guess that's why I always find it to be fascinating too, is because people want that personal touch on things, but they design a system to make it work in no matter whose hands it goes into. So they want their cake and to eat it too, I guess.
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
But nobody ends up eating the cake.
Like, nobody gets the cake. It's a lose-lose.
It's not even there. Nobody even bought cake. I don't even know.
Because it's interesting to me when I get clients and they have, like, and this is totally fine, but they have, like, branding done by somebody else. Right. And they're like, and now we want to use you. And I'm like, ooh. Because then I have to get into the headspace of, like, whoever designed their previous branding and then apply my stuff to it. And that's like probably one of the hardest projects that I work on, is like trying to combine all these different things and all the, because usually when people come to me after working with a design agency like that, is they're not happy with it, but they think that they have to use it because they paid for it. And it's like, well, you know, like, it's up to you. It's, do you want me to use it or don't you? So that's a very interesting topic.
Right. Those are some of my favorite projects, though, is like, okay, if you do have those brand guidelines, but they're like, hey, push on the boundaries of this. And it's like, great. Like, I want to always be the kind of studio that creates new pages in a brand guidelines. Mm-hmm. And it honestly, it happens probably more often than we ever really intend. If you hear my kid, he's talking away over here. He just got home from preschool. He'll tell you all.
Like, I want to talk about art. Let me on here. Like,
let me on this. I want to give you my take on AI, the 4-year-old approach or perspective. So, now I'm just lost. I don't know where I was saying at all.
Pushing brand guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been something that's happened actually a lot with us, and it was never intended, but it's like, I don't know, that should probably be like our tagline. We'll push your brand guidelines into having 2 additional pages at least.
At least, minimum. At least,
yeah. No, it's we've done some stuff that, like, some illustration stuff that ends up completely redefining some larger brands and, like, completely redesigning their websites and stuff like that around these illustrations. And it's like, well, that was never the intention, but, like, it makes sense that's sort of where it ended, because if you want us to push, we're going to push. And that's kind of what we do best. But on the flip side, we've also had situations like one that I may or may not be going through this morning, where it's like, we pushed and this looks amazing. And they're like, it does, but the client's not in love with how far off of the brand we went. And it's, I don't know, it's too bad. Like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, this is what we do. We push.
Yeah. And at least you can end that project and be like, we tried to push it. And right. So there's, like, no regrets on it. And that's something that I always look at too in my own projects. It's like, I can give you my best, and that's all I can give you. Right. And if you don't like it, we can step it back. We can do whatever you want. But at least at the end of the day, I can say I tried. Right. So it's a success in a weird way. And then it's like, I don't know. Cause you want to be able to, like, explain it to them even more and just like, hey, like, if you do this, but some people just aren't open to it.
Yeah. It can definitely feel risky. Try new things. And that's, like, it's interesting because, like, the stuff that we put on our portfolio, I mean, we've done that Made by Things. We've done probably, I want to say 340, 350 projects, videos over the last 9-10 years. And we put like 15 on our portfolio. Yeah. And it's like, you know, people are like, oh, we really like this, but have you ever done anything like this? I'm like, listen, we've done everything at this point. I'm like, the stuff that you see is the stuff that we really, really want to keep doing. So, like, I don't know. It's interesting to hear some of the perspective on, like, what's in your portfolio and what people are actually looking for from you. But do you get that at this point? Like, the stuff on your portfolio, I feel like is in that niche that we're talking about. Like, yeah. Do you get people coming up to you and asking for different things?
Oh yeah, I get weird stuff all the time.
You can, you can say the word.
I can say the shit word. Yeah. I've been, like, trying to, like, not cuss because, like, my mouth is so bad. I don't know. But it's interesting being online and, like, running the business primarily online, because people generally, I will say, they take recommendations from other people before they ever even look at my work. So they'll come to me and they'll be like, do you do websites? And I used to do websites. I completely cut them out because I'm like, trying to get through those nowadays is just insane. So I still get questions about websites. I still get questions about logos, which I do logos from time to time, but it's usually only for, like, my VIP clients. Right. So I have, like, a select few people that I really just go all out for. But the social media stuff keeps me busy and keeps me booked. So that's, like, my pride and joy. But it's very interesting too. I get a lot of, like, people will sign on to work with me, and I generally don't know their vibe right off the bat. Like, it kind of comes with, like, their first submission. but sometimes, and I require them to submit like at least 5 inspiration graphics. And it's funny that you were talking about like this, oh, like they gave me my own work. Most of the time that happens. They'll like go through my portfolio and they'll like pull things out. And I'm like, cool, cool. I know what you're going for. Other times, like I get like Canva graphics and I'm just like, can you explain like what your train of thought is here? Because like my work doesn't look anything like that. Right. And if you want elements from that, it's going to be a weird kind of collaboration on this, but we'll get there.
Right.
But just FYI, that's not what I do, you know? So I definitely do get those requests, and it's either I kind of conform them to the new style of doing things, or they want what they want and I do it for them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You sign them up for Canva and you're like, here you go.
There you go. There's a bunch of templates for you.
You have a monthly subscription. I take mine off the top and then you send me the money and then I'll pay your subscription for you. That's great.
There you go. There you go.
New business model idea.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, but you know.
Any thoughts, Shelby?
Yeah. I do have a question though. From a producer perspective, when I am hiring artists, I think it's very interesting to think about like what they're putting out there and why they're choosing to put specific work out. And this is a question for both of you. How do you decide what kind of work you want to put out there and put on your portfolio to speak to the audience that you want to be working with?
You go first, Shauna.
Okay. I think primarily like I only post work, one that I'm super proud of and two that I would love to do more of. Because if you start posting work that's like stuff that you don't want to do, people will pull that out and they'll be like, I want this. And then you're stuck in a rut of like all these people coming to you for people, there's stuff that you don't want to do. And you're like, how did this happen? And it's like, well, that's what's all over your Instagram, you know? So yeah, I strictly only post stuff that I'm proud of or I want to keep doing.
Yeah. I think pretty similar. Ultimately, I think a lot of it is actually just about the process and the experience of the project and how it made me feel. Because there's certain ones where I'm like, oh, this project felt like it went well and was good. But like, you know, I mean, we obviously work with different designers and different people. So it's not like any one specific style, which is interesting because there are people that we talk to that say like, oh yeah, like this is like the Made by Things style. I'm like, how can you say that on something that like we do live action? We did this 3D animation piece. Like they're not the same, but like people can still see a relationship between them, it seems. So I don't know, ultimately for me it's like, okay, was that a good project? Like is that a project that I would like to be involved in again? And I'm pretty sure that if you go through our portfolio, like I can tell you just so many stories about the making of each one of those projects. So to me it's probably less to do with the actual quality of work and more to do with what experience do I want more of and try to develop those things. And I don't know, maybe that's the fluffy answer.
I like that. Yeah. So the other thing that came to mind too, it's like, so I have two separate accounts now. I've done a very like mindful separation of my personal artwork and then my Wolves and Roses kind of social media graphics. Right. But most of my audience is on my artist page. So what I've been doing there is exploring like new techniques, posting new things, because I want people to see the visual representation of what it's like to push ideas and to push new styles. Because most people, like we were talking about earlier, you almost have to force them into it. Like, okay, here's what you want, but here's my style. So like when they see it living on a page already and they're like, I really love this style, I've never seen it before, like can we try this? And I'm like, yeah baby, we got you, you know. Like, so like it's almost like you're tempting them with new things. So it's like stuff that I want to try in projects, like I'll kind of do on my own and like do what, like I just set up like a little photography studio over here because that's my new thing, is like learning the camera because I've always been too scared.
Yep.
So I'm like doing stuff on my own personal page to kind of try to push people further in their own requests, which is, it's been kind of working. So I'm like, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing. I really like it whenever clients will come to us and they're like, okay, yeah, we want to do something like a little bit new, a little bit fresh. And it's like, so we have our little inspiration page on our Slack where it's like, okay, anytime we see something, we're like, oh God, that's so cool. Like we post it in there. And every time a client says like, oh, we want to try something a little bit different here, I'm like, all right, let's go. I'll start scrolling here and see what might be a good opportunity for this. It's also like, you know, talking to every team member just on an individual basis, I know what their likes and dislikes are and what interests they have or things that they're trying to do more of. So I'm also trying to like keep all that stuff in mind. It's like having like 9 different personalities where I'm like,
that's amazing. See, that's one thing that I want so bad. And it's funny because like you look at my graphics and I can tell like, and probably you guys as artists can tell, but it's like, if they don't look like a movie poster, like I don't want them on my page. Like I love movie posters and I think they're so cool, but I love that aesthetic, like the pumped up color, the contrast. So like a lot of my covers have that in it. And it's also because like I went to like a mentor. He does like, he does a lot of music posters and a lot of movie posters. And I was like, whatever you can teach me about the movie industry and how you create these posters in Photoshop, like I want to know. So he went through and gave me all these like finishing tips and stuff like that. So all of that that gets utilized in music and movie posters, like I'm putting into social media graphics, which I think is like what makes my graphics mine. It's because like I'm infusing everything that I do with the stuff that interests me. And it's like all those little things, maybe my clients never know that and they probably never will, but like, I know that. And I'm like, that's why it's mine, you know?
Yeah. That's something
I love that.
I think about that a lot with music where I'm like, okay. So like, if I like a band, I'm like, all right, I, for whatever reason, need to know who they were influenced by. A lot of times I feel like you can hear it. Truthfully, I feel like a lot of the music that I like, you can trace back to Pink Floyd. And like that's it. So that's why I like, all right, Pink Floyd's one of my favorites. But even before then, like, you know, they had influence by the Beatles and then Beatles by Elvis, and it's like, wow, like you can almost trace all this back to like one source. So I don't know, like I love to make those little connections. I don't know why. Maybe it's just a
it's just so cool because like, I think it's like the human part. Like you're not just like working with somebody because they create great art. I mean, like that's a part of it, but like you also have to like the human. Mm-hmm. And like I've found like the more that I've put myself out there and the more that I'm just like a human with my clients, they get to know me and they want to see those little details of myself in the graphic because they enjoy that and they want to know my background, right? Like I was watching this video of Billie Eilish, weirdly, like some of her, I like her music. It's okay. Yeah. And, but she's a very like, she's a deep thinker and I right. like that. And she was talking about art and she's like, you know, art creates art. So like the fact that like Pink Floyd is in your work, it may be down the line, but like his art created your art. Right. And then your art is going to create somebody else's art because it's sparking something inside of us, which is like the coolest shit ever.
Right. And maybe that comes back to the whole AI thing where it's like, there's almost like too many ingredients that it sort of like pulls from where it's like, I guess that's like, I don't know. That's not how people think. People don't have millions of connections in their heads. They have a lot fewer. I don't know how many exactly. I'm sure there's some math to be done there, but I don't know. I love that. Let's go into some final thoughts here. Shelby, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll just, I'm going to go quick because like, I think from my perspective, it's just more hiring the people that I want to have on my teams. As a producer, as a creator, I really want to see personality because that's going to bring me in as their audience. I want to know what makes them passionate, what has influenced them, what their thinking is behind things. I love seeing artists push things. And I think that is how you build that specific audience and how you're able to get, you know, somebody like me who's looking for a specific artist for a certain project, you know, to look at your work and say, I want them to push this. Because, I mean, for me, it's an expectation that if I have this person on there, they should be pushing the work. They shouldn't just be doing what I'm asking them to do. They should be making it much better than I could have ever asked of them. So that's just my perspective.
Nice. Shauna?
Yeah, I think my final thoughts are kind of if you're an artist or a creator, don't be scared to put yourself out there as you. we are artists for a reason. I think a lot of us have an attribute of being shy or being scared, especially in the beginning of our career. And it's just complete and utter bullshit to be scared of people and what they think. We have beautiful minds and we have beautiful thoughts. And as long as we're taking the time to develop them and infuse our work with emotion and experience, I think all of us are going to be successful in some aspect.
Yeah, that's great. I would say for my final thoughts, there are tens of thousands of people that do what you do, maybe more. And it's kind of up to us to find what makes each of us different, right? If you don't make yourself different in any way, then you're just going to be compared to all tens of thousands of people. And at that point, it becomes this really subjective decision that one person's probably making. And that's why I love the idea of like finding a little space just for you. That's different from, I mean, it doesn't have to be different from everybody, but like if it's different than 95% of the people out there, at least you're separating yourself in some way or another and making it easy to identify for clients when they should be giving you a call, basically. And I know that a lot of artists have that problem because they're like, well, I don't want to like just do one thing. And the thing that I always say is like, we do not have to stay doing that one thing forever. Like if you just start doing the one thing right now, and then you can iterate and adapt over time. Bringing it back to music a little bit, another thing I always find fascinating is that a lot of like musicians don't even listen to like the music that they produce. Like they don't even listen to like, you know, a country artist might not listen to country at all. Like maybe they're listening to more hip hop or something else. Like, so I always find that to be fascinating that like the reason they became successful is they're doing the thing that they know that they kind of do best. They still enjoy the other things. They might even experiment with the other things. Look at Beyonce. Like she just decides, oh, you know what? I'm going to do a country album. Like, obviously not everybody could probably pull that off, but again, you don't have to continue doing the same thing for the rest of your life. So I think that's the fear that a lot of people have. And that's why I very much respect a lot of what you do, Shauna, is that like you just own it. I don't know how early or you are in your career, but it feels to me that you've sort of figured that out a lot sooner than a lot of other people do. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. All right, enough of the compliments. It's time to go.
Now we start ripping on each other.
No? This is like a reverse roast. Say the nice thing first, and then. Anyway, so Sean, I very much appreciate you taking the time and talking to us. I think it's been just a great conversation that I think hopefully a lot of people get something from.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I had a blast. I love talking about this. So it was no sweat off my butt. No.
Nice. Where can people find out more about your work? Not the sweat.
Oof, transition there, buddy. Yeah, so if you're looking for more of like my social media graphics and stuff like that, that would be under wolvesandrosescreative.com. Everything's there. You can find me on Instagram, on social media, and then if you just look up my name, Shauna Pleasiani, you'll see all my personal stuff. So come find me wherever I be, you know.
Nice. All right. And you know what, Shelby, thank you for showing up and producing this podcast.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate
yeah, show me. All right.
To everyone else still listening at minute 53 of this podcast, I very much appreciate it and love you. Bye.
The Comanzi Show is created by Made by Things. And if you have a question you would like us to discuss, you can send a message at cmdz.show. And if you like what you hear, leave a review. We'll see you next week with a brand new show.